Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullen. Oh! An impossible catch.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for it must be a Tuesday, but baby, you know it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you, Joe Fisher to my left.
Let's go!
Schultzy on the ones and twos. Hello, friends.
What up? How we Hello, doing? I guess I missed the memo. Whoa, what are you doing over there? Get it together.
Dude, I don't understand it. Like, the YouTube pops up and wants to play audio every time. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I missed the memo. The Jack the in the JB? Box. The Jack JB in the memo? Box memo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I got some, too.
Sometimes it's got to happen.
Long
well, it's just right there. You're coming off. You're like, man,
I'll take the scraps. You know,
give me a burger. Schultzy, what'd you grab?
JB Cheese, Junior Bacon Cheeseburgers.
and it too. It's a good go-to.
And a curly fry. Yes, I'm sir. Two tacos and a JBC.
There you go. Okay, so yeah. you keep it cheap. You try to order from the value menu. You can $5. Get it out for under $10, baby.
$5.
I have to say that the Jack in the Box taco, I don't think it's something I've ever consumed in my life. And I think it is quite possibly one of the worst aesthetically, optically pleasing looking fast food items I've ever laid eyes on.
Oh, it's terrible. I believe...
Looks nothing like the picture.
I believe the taco is at some point in its life deep fried three times.
It might be like a leftover taco that they have like from like a couple days ago that they just throw back in the fryer. And
JB had a Thanksgiving like 10 years ago, and they just had so much leftover taco that's why it's $2 for $1.50.
The other thing it reminds me of is Carl's Jr. It seems like whenever you get a chicken sandwich.
If it doesn't get all over the place, it doesn't belong in your mouth.
It's a good burger.
That's what she said.
It's a good burger.
Western bacon.
It seems like some of theirs
also looks like crap.
Their bacon is not good. Yeah.
Well, and it just like, it like looks awesome on TV. And then like about this, if you're on YouTube, you can see it's about this big and then you get it and it's about that big.
This is what I'm getting to is that it looks like whenever they're done making the burger and they wrap it up, they just elbow drop it real quick a couple times.
They're
and
like,
then
F Joe Fisher.
Dude, I swear to God, like it, like you literally have like imprints on the bun of where someone just punched it and just like totally laid into it. It's I don't know what they're doing to the poor sandwiches back there.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. But we're here. I come bearing great news, my friends.
Ooh.
Okay. I come bearing amazing news for you.
Yeah, you were teasing me before the show started. I'm intrigued.
Tickle
me fancy.
We're putting up a bunch of Christmas lights in the house. We're decorating the tree. We're putting a bunch of our Christmas decorations out in the house. But I realized because we had so much S all over the place, I needed to do some cleaning. So I started to do some cleaning, and then I get to the table right at the entry table. Okay, so right when you walk in the front door of the house.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm kind of cleaning up around there, and I look behind it, and I find my microphone condom and
your headphones.
My headphones.
Boom. Wow.
That I've had on this show since day one.
Cheers to that. Oh, so it just slipped into the crevasses.
It was just right there. The it was behind a flower pot. And I have no idea why it'd be there.
Those pesky flower pots, man.
But I found it. It was the condom with my headphones wrapped up inside with the adapter.
And the angels sang from above.
And they went, oh,
I'll sing about
and
baby.
Here we are. Here we are.
So did you cross off the headphones from your Christmas list then?
I did not. I did like, not. I'm still hoping somebody gets me those.
I'll still take those cans.
And when they do, when I get those cans, that will be the opening segment of that show.
Well, congratulations.
Now, it might be this year. It might be next year, spoiler alert, you know, because we're off on a few Tuesdays.
Yes.
But it could also be 2026. Oh, we don't know.
We get back-to-back Tuesdays off.
We do.
Yeah, this is one of those weird calendar years where Christmas falls on a Wednesday and New Year's falls on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So it's basically two straight weeks of nobody wanting to do anything.
Yeah.
Work-wise.
You know what pisses me off big time is at my normal job. At my 9 to 5, I already have Wednesday off.
Right.
So this year for Christmas Day and New Year's Day, I'm already off those days. No free days off for me. Christmas Eve, I have to open the pub, and we're going to do last call at 4 o'clock.
Oh.
So there's no need to have a night person there.
You're not doing a New Year's party at your place of work?
They are. I won't be there. I'm doing a New Year's party at my place of living.
Yeah, no, I meant like your company's not doing a, we're open,
no,
come
we're,
on down.
We're doing a New Year's Eve thing, but Christmas Eve, we close at 4. So I will open to close on Christmas Eve. And then it's like, well, at least you got Christmas off,
but
right?
It's Christmas like, Eve, sir.
At least you have Christmas off. And it's like, well, it's a Wednesday. I always have Christmas off, for it must be
a Wednesday.
lines up perfectly, doesn't it? It makes you feel better. I had to work one Christmas Eve, 12-hour shift at a retirement home.
Dude, they're listening.
Younger, so not fun.
Jack-in-the-box commercial.
JB. And then I had a conversation with my boss the other day, and I was like, yo, Super Bowl Sunday. Factoid to give you, to borrow from our brothers in the morning. A drinking factoid to share with you. The slowest drinking day of the year at restaurants and bars is Super Bowl Sunday.
Because everybody's at home.
Because everybody's at parties. So I said to my boss, I said, hey, why don't we do Christmas Eve treatment and close at 4 on Super Bowl Sunday? All open. I'll do the thing. We close at 4. I can probably get out of there by halftime and get to a party and watch the rest of the game. She goes, oh, no, we'll be open.
She shot that down real quick.
Which is actually kind of a benefit because at about my replacement will come in at 3 o'clock and I will leave at 3 8:01.
Oh, there you go. A little bit earlier then.
But I was trying to say, hey, we don't need to do this. I have, Jordan, that's what you were saying. You've worked Christmas Eve, Christmas days, stuff like that. I have worked probably 3 or 4 Super Bowl Sundays.
Oof.
And it's the worst shift possible. Not because people are bad, but because you have nothing to do.
I've worked
Niners, Chiefs, first time, I worked that Super Bowl Sunday. I watched that whole Super Bowl on TV, and I got to watch the comeback from Mahomes, and I sat there for 20 minutes, and nobody asked for anything for me. And I was the bartender.
I've worked a couple Super Bowls before, and I always worked in retail. So it was definitely a few of them were like, all right, everybody back to work, like as things are happening.
Yeah.
I remember specifically working the Cardinals-Steelers Super Bowl.
Oh, yes.
And this is when I was in
James Harrison.
Kurt Warner for the Cardinals.
Who's got the Santonio Holmes?
Yes.
Has the big touchdown at the end.
Yes. So I remember I was in high school working at Safeway. So like in between me taking... going and getting carts and bringing them back in, I'd sneak into the break room and try and catch a couple plays. I was pissed that day. That was super annoying.
I will give you one of the saddest Super Bowl Sunday stories. Same retirement home I had to work at on Super Bowl Sunday. I believe it was Super Bowl 40. So that was Ben Roethlisberger's first win with the Steelers.
Over the sea bags.
Yeah, exactly. I listened to that one on the radio, and I had to serve drinks to old people while I snuck listening to it on the radio. It was the worst Super Bowl Sunday ever.
Well, the olds are watching. You know the olds are watching.
Actually, none of them were.
But it's on.
I like the colors.
They didn't have a TV with it on out there, man.
The commercials.
They had the dining room with nothing set up.
I went to high school with Chuck Knoll.
He was such a sweet boy.
You know, I kissed Tom Landry once.
Like, oh, great, lady.
Terry Bradshaw's a jerk. Oakley doakley. Well, let's get away from that. We do got a baseball show for you, and believe it or not, there is a lot going down in baseball. This is a really great time for us.
Yeah, this was one of those. I'm telling you, I made the sacrifice to not go to my son's band recital.
Yeah?
So that way I could come and do this show tonight.
Man of the people.
They played 2 songs.
Man of the People, Joe Fisher, the third.
He is in beginning band. They played, I think it was called...
Smoke on the Water.
Christmas Rock.
Ooh.
Which is what he described me, basically like just the first couple parts of every Christmas song.
Wonderful.
All smashed into one.
They're all in the key of C.
So like he told me, he's like, I can play Jingle Bells. I was like, you can? He's like, well, yeah, so...
Yeah, so it goes, doot, 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 doot. Doot, 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 doot.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all they play, and then it's on to the
next
one.
It's like 5 notes there.
And so I called him out. I was like, you can't play Jingle Bells. And he's like, yeah, I can't. Well, I can play that first part. I'm like, that's not playing Jingle Bells, bro. I was like, if you can play Jingle Bells, you can do all of it. And he was not too happy that I called out that very specific detail.
Because he just poo-pooed all over his hardworking effort.
His trumpet skills. You can't play trumpet, bro.
Well, there's a lot to get into as free agency is getting wild and trades, et cetera. Plus, we'll have Fair Foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. We come back. The biggest story in baseball is clearly, why are the Cleveland Guardians trading a 3-time All-Star at second base to the Toronto Blue Jays? 2 hours of coverage of that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland sports leader, Today the Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
718 Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge.
We'll do it live.
There is the Vancouver text line, 503-864-6326. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. We're also on YouTube at 1080 AM The Fan. You can find us there, plus the wonderful, amazing, I used it this morning, actually, Odyssey app.
I didn't use it this morning. Wait, no. I did use it this morning.
I've been listening to Christmas music even on the Odyssey app.
Oh, how about that?
I'm a serious user. So my Christmas music in the car is either the playlist I have on Spotify or the Sirius. But I listen to the boys in the morning on my way to work.
Did you hear their chipmunk voices on the YouTube stream by chance?
No, I didn't.
There was something going wrong with the YouTube stream, so it like made it like pitched up their voices extremely high.
Well, and it's funny because they're both sick.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because you don't listen every morning like I do.
Well, I didn't hear anything about them being sick. I heard about the YouTube stream.
They got doorknob lickers at home.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Dirt's
Teddy ball game
still
is
a
like
baby, but
he's like he sees a doorknob and he's like, I want to lick that.
But also, babies are gross and they're throwing up and pooping and sneezing and coughing and they're gross, adorable but gross. But yeah, it's pretty funny. Like their voices for some reason were super high pitched. They sounded like the Alvin and the Chipmunk song, the Christmas time.
I might have to check that out. So as we led up into this, Andreas Giménez was traded to the Toronto Blue Jays,
Patrick,
and signed a 15-year contract worth $765 million.
Him too.
For a second baseman.
Wow.
Can you believe that? Toronto wanted a guy. They got a guy.
Who knew? It flew under the radar.
Three-time All-Star.
Yeah.
$765.
I must have missed that.
That's
I felt like there was maybe some other big news that might have happened that overshadowed that signing.
That's where we start. The New York Mets, the Juan Soto sweepstakes have ended. And before we really get into this, I kind of, you know, there's a lot to kind of unpackage from this whole situation. I kind of want to start with this. I am so happy that we sit here on December 10th and Juan Soto has signed.
Yes, me too.
That is so big because the domino effect of Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman, you know, we saw Max Fried sign today. We'll get to that later. You know, but Corbin Burns and Walker Buehler, like the market is kind of, we wait for it every single year. It's like, well, nobody's going to sign till Shohei signs because I got to know what he's worth. And then I'll try to convince someone that I am a percentage of blah, 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 all that garbage. But it's done. Soto's a Met, and I, for one, for the sake of this show and just as a baseball fan, I'm very happy this deal got signed, but I'm a little surprised it got signed as fast as it did.
Yeah, that did catch me off guard. I mean, I didn't think I thought we were going to be getting into that at least the new year and possibly even like early February. Like, I didn't think we were going to get into, you know, what we did last year with some of the guys signing in
Montgomery,
and
Snell, things like that.
Yeah, but I didn't think we were going to be getting it at this point this early, and but thank God, because we're what, like a month removed from the World Series. We just had awards, so I mean we're keeping the baseball train going. Choo-choo.
And I think this is a great thing, because look, we're in the heart of the NFL. College football playoff bracket is out. You know, there, if you're a sports fan that kind of watches everything and dabbles into everything, this is the time of year where baseball has always failed in terms of the 24-hour news cycle. This is where baseball has always missed a chance. You know, they say, you know, remember when A-Rod signed with the Reds or was getting traded to the Red Sox, but that deal fell through and he got traded to the Yankees, but it was during the World Series, and Major League Baseball was so mad about that. They were so mad. You're taking away from the World Series. Well, it's like, earth to you, the 03 World Series was kind of not fun.
Was that the Astros White Sox? Or
that's 04. That's 05. 03 is the Yankees losing to the Marlins.
Was that 03?
Maybe it's the 02?
I think that was 02.
Because A-Rod played in that World Series in 03.
God.
Either way, baseball was so mad.
Who is winning? What is occurring?
Baseball was so mad when that trade went down because they were like, you're taking away from the fall classic. And people want to talk about this trade instead of the game that's going on in hand.
Are you talking about the opt-out?
No, I'm talking when A-Rod got traded from the Rangers to the Yankees.
Okay, because I remember he literally opted out in the middle of a World Series as well.
Yes, he's done that as well.
It's like he is always the story stealer.
And baseball is always kind of like, you can't do this. You got to stop. That's why we don't tell you the awards until the postseason's over. And that's just a bunch of garbage. But as baseball gets quote-unquote dormant for now, and the NFL takes full force, and college football's winding up, and the NBA's starting up, the NHL's starting up, EPL is hot right now. I'm just saying. If you're not watching EPL, Champions League, it's really good right now. This is an opportunity for baseball to kind of shoehorn themselves into this. I heard the boys talk about it this morning. I've heard Dan Patrick talk about it. I've heard Colin Cowherd talk about it. I've heard Isaac and Suk talking about it. This is a good thing for baseball. We'll get into the contract details and if this is a good deal. But what I'm saying is, and that's what I'm kind of leading with, is that Soto signing now is getting eyes on baseball instead of forgetting that baseball's around until March comes.
Well, what's funny is you saying, like, oh, all these shows we're talking about. I remember you bringing that up last week, and it was because of Rob Manfred's dumb idea of the golden batter. And it was like, right, all these shows are talking about it, but for the wrong reason, because it's a stupid idea.
You're an idiot.
And now this with Juan Soto, it's like all these shows are talking about it because it's amazing, and it's the biggest contract in sports history, and it's what's the word? It's polarizing. It grabs your attention. I mean, you then start thinking, and like, all right, what do the Mets look like? What do the Yankees look like? What does the rest of the free agency look like? Why did he get so much more money than Shohei? Like, what is he going to look like at 41? There's so many things that come out of this rather than a stupid story that Rob Manfred wants to change another rule.
But what I would say about that stupid story is, you know what everybody talked about today, locally and nationally, our people here and the people out in the ethers, they all talked about blocked punts today. Like, you really want to break down some blocked punts?
Hey, it was a pivotal moment in the game.
I know it was
a
pivotal moment, and there's NFL junkies.
Between two teams under 500.
I'm not saying that that's not a topic we're talking about. That's not what I mean. But that is so niche and so minute and so not important, and everyone talked about it. And baseball could use a little bit of that, even if it is this stupid rule that Manfred floated out, who has since said that's not coming to baseball. But it got people talking about baseball. And Soto
is doing
the same thing a week cycle later.
Well, it's going to have to be those stupid stories or dumb ideas about rules that are never going to take
place. The NFL does it for 8 months a year.
No, I hear you, but what I'm saying is we are so lucky in the world right now of baseball that this year you've got a $700-plus million free agent signing. Last year, you had the best baseball player possibly ever signing a free agent contract. We're not going to have $700 million. We're not going to have $700 million guys, you know, signing every season. This is obviously like not the rule. It's the exception to the rule. And baseball, I mean, I'm kind of sick. I listen to Hot Stove coverage on Sirius XM. You know, I'm all about.
Oh, me too, man. I'm with you. I'm a junkie, dude. This is my life.
Like Jerry DePoto, Mariners GM or president, was on, you know, doing an interview at 1 p.m. yesterday. I'm like, okay, gotta listen.
Yep,
this is
click.
Appointment radio for me. And then there were two other teams, GMs, that I had to stick around and listen to because I need to know the intricacies, but not everybody else is going to do that. And I'm not sure what else is going to draw people besides flashy numbers.
And that's what makes baseball a little niche in what you're saying of like, I want to hear DePoto talk about my team.
Yeah.
Or I want to hear, you know, Cashman talk about the Yankees because that's my team, or I hate them, or they're the big player, et cetera, et cetera. But I think, again, getting back to what I'm saying, Soto signing now is a great thing for baseball. I wish Max could have waited a week and we could have kept this kind of train going, but that's how you kind of start. You know, baseball in 2024, baseball 23 and 24 has had a significant boost in the mainstream. And these are the kind of little things we need to push this game to keep up with the haves. Because we're a little half-not, if we're being honest. Like, let's look in the mirror and say, as much as we love baseball, not everybody does. This is our chance to be more of the have and less of the have-not.
Well, yeah, you're right that it's a good thing for baseball, but I feel like once time wears off and this, you know, season starts back up, it still very much is like, is this really going to draw in the casual fan? Like, oh boy, this guy signed for that big $765 million contract. I got to see what this is all about.
Maybe not, but remember, like, when it's June, you know, that like there, when it's July, there's no draft, there's no off-season camps. Like, you've seen what ESPN puts out when they want to talk about NFL. It is grasping at straws. Now, yes, people still consume it because they're idiots and addicts, but it's not good coverage. And maybe this will show that when baseball goes dormant for a little bit in January and most of February, that that's okay. That maybe it disappears for a minute. And once it comes back, it's like, ooh, baseball, let's go.
Yeah.
Right. Soto, Freed, Shohei, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and that's where I kind of like look at last offseason versus this season. It's like the way that I was dragged out with Shohei was one of those like at the time, kind of annoying.
It's like a decision.
But also,
it's a LeBron decision situation.
But also, like, you dragged it out over a few months and you made it a talking point for a while, like trying to get have people guess where he was going to go. And now you might have this lull with baseball in the offseason, unless, you know, there is a trickle over the holidays in January and then we get into February. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of weird to have these two off seasons. Like, crazy things have happened with Shohei, the biggest player in the world, signing, and then you have the biggest contract in the world being signed in back-to-back off seasons. I think that is, you know, very intriguing for non-baseball fans. But I worry that, yeah, it's going to – the shine is going to come off, I guess. And, yeah, and once we get into mid-January, February, and nothing's happening, maybe we get a signee here, signee there. That's the thing with football, man, is like you want to talk about grasping straws, even NBA in a sense, like their off season, crazy random stuff happens.
Yeah. How do we get Giannis to New York?
That they could keep the story engaged. And while this is going to help for a bit, it's also like, how do you keep it going and build excitement so that way people are ready and just frothing and foaming and waiting for late March, April to get here.
Well, let's take the shine that's going on right now and let's get into this Juan Soto contract. The biggest contract signed in the history of North American sports. Definitely in the history of baseball. But yeah, the biggest thing we've seen. Let's break it down. Let's look at it. There's a lot to get into with this. We'll do all that next. But first, I'll throw it to Schultzy with sports. Coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, we'll dive into some other stuff. The Yankees get an ace. There's a team in the top five of the draft that nobody saw coming.
Woo!
When your decimal percentage is a larger number than the pick you got.
And I'll tell you why I hate it.
You're doing okay.
But I'll tell you why I hate that.
Of course you hate that.
Yeah. But there's a good reason for it, and I think when you hear
me. Is Dustin Ackley on the board?
No, but Jeff Clement could be. Ah, wait.
Excuse me, sorry. So we'll get to a lot, plus fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. But let's get into this Juan Soto contract, all right? Let's sit here. 15 years.
No, because it makes me depressed.
Why?
That I didn't start playing baseball at the age of 6 months old.
I tell people all the time, you got a kid, they athletic, golf, or baseball?
Yeah, it's easier on the body.
These days, basketball, they are guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, but then
you can't sign the 15-year.
But then you got bone-on-bone knees, and your fingers are going eight different ways, and don't risk it.
Baseball or golf?
I mean,
tennis pays well, too.
Baseball. I mean, unless you're getting a deal from the Saudis in golf, you know. Then,
what up? You know, but some people are.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Then that's a real game changer.
But we sit here in baseball. Juan Soto has signed with the New York Mets, 15-year contract worth $765 million. That breaks down, I believe, to $51 million a year. Here are some of
and a private suite.
And a private suite, which apparently was a big deal. Apparently was a huge deal.
I love that.
Like, there, I get my phone buzzes, and I'm reading these articles, and I'm listening to, you know, the big wigs of baseball media talking that, you know, Juan Soto was never going to go back to the Yankees because a security guard one time was mean to his family.
Shut up.
So apparently this private suite, which I have seen the breakdown of what it costs, is a big deal. And Cohen's just like, yeah, I don't care. Give him a suite? Cool.
Sure.
What the hell do I care
about
that?
Give him an office, an apartment in the stadium? Why not?
Yeah, give him the Russell Wilson in Denver treatment. Let him do whatever the hell he wants.
I saw a good tweet where someone was like, that is like a straight up George Costanza Seinfeld moment.
Without a doubt.
That he was the security guard that kicked out Soto's parents from a certain section.
The security guard was sick, so they sent Costanza down there. They were like, dude, just don't mess this up. Yeah. And he's like, oh, okay.
And it took his job a little too seriously.
Soto's mom like spilt something on the ground and didn't clean it up. And Costanza was like, you gotta go.
You're living in a society.
But yes, do not forget the suite, damn it.
Yes, don't forget the suite. But some other interesting things to get into. There's the opt-out after the 2029 season.
Yeah.
What's interesting about this is that is there in case it is a protection. This is such a Boris thing. It is a protection in case the value of players goes up. And Soto at $51 million has seemed like a steal.
God.
So he could renegotiate to make 75 a year or something.
Well,
To quote Kramer from Seinfeld, why don't you tell me what movie you want to see?
I think that you have is that the CBS article?
I do.
Yeah. So it talks about it in there where basically after that opt-out period, the Mets can then raise his per-year salary by $4 million on the last 10 years,
mm-hmm.
which would then bring the total amount of the contract to over $800 million
Correct.
At that point.
Correct. So that's part of it, which I think is interesting. I mean, I kind of like that. You see guys that have that opt-out because either A, the team is going to be garbage by then and they want to bounce, or they want to renegotiate. I mean, A-Rod signed two $250 million contracts in his time. Now, they didn't see the full length of all that, but he was able to opt out of his 10-year 250 and signed another like 8-year 270 with the Yankees. So that's the protection. That's the market value protection. But also, if I'm Soto, I'm also thinking about this like, what if the Mets aren't good in 5 years? What if this is the window now? You know, like there's a lot of different angles of protection there.
But there's also part of me that, I mean, that will be 31-year-old Juan Soto. And, I mean, again, you can't predict the future. You can't predict what a player is going to look like the rest of their career in 5 years, whatever. It's like, if I'm him, I'm just be like, yeah, add that extra $4 million per year and I'll stay. And mm-hmm. now I'm going to get, because I want to say the first 5 years he gets $305 million.
I was just looking at it. Hold up. Yep, $305 over the first five seasons.
In the last 10.
That figure does include the signing bonus
of $75
million.
And then the last 10 years, so from the ages of 31 to 41, 10 years, $460 million. And then again, the Mets.
That's Mike Trout's contract.
And then from 31 to 41.
That's Mike Trout's contract now is $460 million.
And then the
Mookie's not shy of that either.
And then again, the Mets can add an extra $40 million on top of that for the last 10 years. So then you're making $500 million from the ages of 31 to 41. Like, something tells me that even at that point in time, I don't know. I don't know what the dollar's going to look like in 5 years. But something tells me there ain't going to be a team that's going to want to give him 10 years, $500 million at the age of 31.
Yeah.
I could be crazy, but who knows? Maybe he's hitting 60 home runs and has 160 RBIs every season up until that point. Then we can talk. But something tells me that he's probably just going to stay with the Mets for that 10 years and get the extra $500 million.
And we'll get into what Soto looks like on the Mets for 15 years. But the last part of this contract,
I think year nine is going to be a little shaky.
There is a little bit, before we get to that, just to finish up contract talk, I think the most intriguing thing about this whole contract is that there's no deferred money.
That was one of the things I wanted to know right away, too.
Remember, we're all assuming it's this Dodger model. Maybe the rest of baseball doesn't agree with it.
Well, this is where
players don't agree with
this. This is where I think Cohen, going to what I've been saying over the last couple of weeks, is that he was willing to do anything Juan Soto wanted to make this deal happen.
But the Yankees weren't going to defer money.
Yeah,
that's
but also,
the report I heard. But was also, that the Yanks weren't going to defer money.
They weren't going to give him this amount.
No,
so that's where it's like, we'll give you the amount you want. We'll give you the years you want. We're not going to defer any of it. We'll give you a suite. Like literally,
suite is the big deal here.
Check all of the boxes. Like, and that's where I think the Mets. Again, you're right. Where the Yankees, if they weren't going to defer anything, that's where they were even there. But.
I just think that it's interesting that we've talked on this show for a year now since Shohei has signed about the terrifying idea about money deferred and how teams like big player teams like I would say the Rangers, the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox, the Cubs should be. The Giants, the Padres, and the Dodgers. Okay, so that's eight teams that have the capital to do what the Dodgers are doing. And the fact that Juan Soto is not getting that from the Mets kind of changes my thought on that whole deferred money thing. Maybe this is just a Dodger thing. Maybe Steve Cohen and his accountants and his money people outside of baseball are saying, hey, man, that's a bad idea. Don't do that. That's what makes me wonder, especially because the Blue Jays weren't going to defer money. The Yankees weren't going to defer money. The fact that this is the classic case, just like Shohei last year, to defer money, that nobody wants to do that, that maybe we were scared about something that's not real.
Did I miss, like, were there numbers that came at 16 years, 760 was the offer?
Yes,
that the Yankees
that's
on the
Yankee offer.
Yeah.
16, 760. So it was an extra year.
With $5 million less. So it
with
was
$5 million less.
I'm trying to do quick math, which is
and Cashman
thing.
Came out and said we were already uncomfortable making that offer.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Somebody could get hurt. Could be Mike Trout. I'm not saying he's gonna be, but
right.
he literally has the best like vision of a strike zone, I think, of any player in history. But
and Jordan, I love that you say that, because that's where I want to get into next. Like, that's what the contract is.
47.5 a year is what that is.
That's what the contract is, okay? Let's talk about the value of this contract. Let's talk about Juan Soto, okay? Everybody wants to talk about how much money he's got, no deferral, the signing bonus in the Mets, Steve Cohen. Let's talk about Juan Soto as the player. And is this a good investment? We'll do that next. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Coming up on the second hour of the Hot Corner. Got fair or foul at the bottom. Yankees get a new ace. Not named Juan Soto. He can't pitch, yet somehow makes more money than a guy who might be a better player than him and can pitch.
But five years longer.
That is true.
We can break it
down. We got to remember this. Like, it's like, he makes more money than Shohei Ohtani?
No, he doesn't.
Shohei Ohtani is getting that in five less years.
AAV is actually 70 to, what, 51?
Shohei's getting it in, like, 15 more years.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
When we think about it.
Yeah. So, no. Okay. Let's make sure we get rid of this thought. Juan Soto does not make more money than Shohei Ohtani.
The joke's going to be on us when he starts walking towards that mound on opening day and takes the bump.
Juan Soto's got 14 Ks on opening day.
Oh,
eight
my
innings.
God! I learned a fastball and I learned a splitter. Like, yeah. Holy S.
Yeah.
But why? Someone tell me why, damn it!
Yeah, this goes in the face of this current segment, right? Is it worth it? Hell yeah, it's worth it. Dude's going to be throwing flames, nasty breakers.
Could you imagine just once he comes in and he throws like 90 miles an hour? Then the speculation would begin on SportsCenter, like, you know, maybe Juan Soto could become a closer. It's the idiocy that we live in the world.
But let's get into this. 15 years of Juan Soto. He's 26 right now. Like, let's be real here. The value of this contract is based on his age. Okay? The kid's been in the league for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years already. He's been in 9 seasons in baseball already.
That's wild.
And he's 26.
Time flies, man.
In 2018, he finished second for Rookie of the Year and won a World Series. No, sorry, in 19, won a World Series. He has an over 400 on-base percentage every year of his career.
Every year?
Every year. The exception is in 2022, for the Nationals, he had a 408 on-base percentage. He was traded to the Padres, where he had a 388 while on the Padres. So if you do that math, he might still be an over 400 on-base percentage every single season. There is no doubt about it. We talk about this. We did it through the World Series. We said if the Yankees have any shot at being the Dodgers, it's not just Aaron Judge. It's that Juan Soto might have the best eyeballs in the game of baseball. He doesn't strike out. He takes a ton of walks. He might be in the conversation of the top three best pure hitters, not best player, but pure hitters. This contract is built because he's 26. They had to throw on 15 years to get him to stay. Otherwise, a 10-year deal would have been money. Because the last thing, let me tell you, the last thing I want to do is pay $50 million a year for Juan Soto at 40. We've seen this with Pujols. We've seen it with A-Rod. Even Cano was 34 and making too much money.
He stopped taking steroids. Come on. That's the only reason.
I was about to say something and I stopped myself and I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe his eyes won't get worse with age.
Won't degenerate?
Wait, yeah. Hold on a second. What usually happens with age?
Yeah, I'm really excited to get in my car and drive home at 39.
And not being
I forgot
able to
my
see.
Glasses at home.
Hey,
yeah.
To defend that point, guys.
The old one eye and I'm sober.
Edgar Martinez, who was going blind and had like a actual vision impairment, like was able still to what, his early 40s, 41, 42, be a legitimate hitter in the major leagues. He was an all-time talent, but so is Juan Soto. So don't worry about that kind of crap.
Let's play a little fun fair or foul here. Fair or foul, this contract is a great move for the Mets.
You know, it's funny. It's been, what, since Sunday this contract was signed? I have yet to ask myself that question. My initial reaction, gut reaction,
I've heard a bunch of people say their opinions, but I'm with you. I haven't really asked mine either.
Like, my gut reaction is like, is no. I mean, you just the last 5 years of this contract from 36 to 41. I mean, you're
But what
be-
if 26 to 36 is... three titles.
Then, yeah, it's worth it. I mean, to me, that's something the Mets have never experienced. Like, yeah, what investment paid off for sure. And then at that point, it's like, yeah, whatever he gives us the last 5 years, who cares? You know, he gave us three World Series titles. But baseball is not a one-man sport. It's not. It's, you know, we have NBA on the TV right now. That is where one dude can change the trajectory of your franchise.
I'm watching Wheel of Fortune. One dude can change his trajectory Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, for sure. You end up on that bankrupt, buddy. You're done for the night.
Stop Adios. Buying vowels. Yeah. Stop buying vowels on Wheel of Fortune. Anyways.
But again, like NBA, one dude can change the trajectory of your franchise, right? NFL, one position can change the trajectory of your franchise.
Unless you're Joe Burrow.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, then you need a defense.
Then you're hosed. Yeah.
Whereas baseball, it's like, you know, I love the game. I love everything about it. But that's what kills me with some of these contracts. It's like, this dude's going to show up once every hour at the plate.
Shohei is not the reason the Dodgers won the World Series.
No.
He's part of it, but not the reason.
And also, you know, you want to talk about the value and what you're getting for the player. Yeah, you're getting one of the best eyes in baseball at the dish of all time. But also, his fielding, him being nominated, we've talked about this, him being nominated for a Gold Glove this year is laughable.
An absolute joke.
Like, and he's going to have to play the field if you're paying him this money.
Andy Dur Johnson said it this morning. He said he's a C-plus defender at best. And I looked in, I was like, Andy, I know you're a baseball guy. That's a bad take. He's a D-plus at best. He's not necessarily a liability, but he ain't Mookie out there.
I want to go. I don't think I'm kind of in the wheelhouse. Like, you're getting a passing grade, but you're barely there, bud.
But you're barely there,
C's
buddy.
Get degrees, and C's get $765 million contracts if you are an A-plus at the dish.
Now, what I will say, to be kind of a counter as to why he might be worth this, is I think it's all based on the Mets. I think it's looking at that team. Now, the polar bear is a big kind of elephant in the room. But let's pretend that Pete Alonso is signed or he's still in arbitration. He's still a kid or something like that. There is nobody on the market that will push the Mets to where they want to be more than Juan Soto. I don't think so. I think they need arms. Yeah, I definitely think they need arms, whether it's Walker Buehler or Corbin Burns or, you know, whatever kind of free
agent. Are you really
going to
commit $1 billion between two players?
The Dodgers just did it. So but that's beside the point. But what I'm saying is that the Mets were close. Not this close, but they were close to getting to a World Series. And if the Mets would have gone to the World Series, I think they'd have smoked the Yankees too. So now you're looking at how do I get past the Dodgers? And they needed a bat that was of this caliber. Because Frankie had a great year and Alonso was awesome in the playoffs, but it just wasn't enough. They needed somebody. Did you overpay for Juan Soto? Probably. But there's no team in baseball that needed Juan Soto outside of the Yankees more than the Mets did. Yeah. Which is why the Dodgers were out. They were like, yo, this doesn't make sense to us.
But again, this is where, I mean, kind of like what the Dodgers ran into last year, in a sense, is that they had some pitching issues throughout the year as far as health goes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
Glasnow down, Yamamoto down.
And that's where I think they're going to get their money's worth from Soto for the next 7 to 9 years.
I agree.
I think he will be definitely worth the investment. It's just a matter of what are you going to be able to put around him, especially on the pitching side of things. Because right now, I mean, like,
how much money you're spending.
Well, yeah. And also, like we said in the playoffs with the Mets, it's like, how much longer are you going to get away with throwing Sean Manea out there? And Severino.
Your best pitchers this year aren't going to pitch for you next year.
No. No. And who did they sign and bring back in just this offseason?
Well, they just got Holmes from the Yankees.
That's true. They did.
They got the kid from Milwaukee.
That's an interesting name. Never heard of him before. And also, I saw some rumors that they might want to make Clay Holmes a starter.
Yeah, they want to make Clay Holmes a starter.
Like, that was before
this. Frankie Montas.
That's right.
Who is a Sean Manea?
A little bit better, I would say.
Okay.
A little bit better. But
so, like, a B minus to a B.
But I was seeing that about Clay Holmes.
Yeah, they want to make him a starter.
That before he even signed with the Mets, teams were talking about wanting to make him a starter. And so I guess that's where you're going there. And he can go through the lineup twice, and you better pull him. Like, I don't know. That's a weird move as far as making him a starter.
I think to your point, Joe, I think what you're trying to say is, like, the money you've tied up with Soto, where else can you put it?
At what
because
point
they're
does
out on Freed, obviously, because he just signed.
Well, and at what point does
But it sounds like they're out on Burns.
He better go back to the Baltimore.
Because Burns is going to probably make a similar deal to what Free just signed, yeah, which we'll get into in a moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, where's your money?
And at what point
does, and are you going to be able to sign Pete?
What point does Cohen actually start being like, I don't know if I want to do that deal? Because it seems like the last, he's been the owner for three years. Gosh, it seems like 4 or 5 seasons now. I mean, when did that Frankie contract get signed?
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah.
I traded him in like 18.
It was something like that. Yeah. So it's like, at one point does he actually start going like, instead of, yeah, F it, I'll sign that to be, yeah, F no, I ain't signing that.
Acting like Hal Steinbrenner right now, who's like, yo, we don't spend that kind of money anymore.
In a sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of Hal Steinbrenner, let's look at what this does to Juan Soto's former team. The news today is interesting. We'll check in on that. But like, the New York Yankees, where's your heartbeat right now? What's the pulse? You feeling all right?
Have you seen some of the videos from Yankee fans out there?
You feeling okay? Do you need an adult in the room? We'll get to that next. Loaded second hour, Hot Corner, today the Fan.